Where do I start today? Amen. Praise the Lord. I was sitting there listening. I was thinking upon all the messages that I heard Brother Johnson minister as a young pastor, and rehearsing them in my mind. The Lord forgave me that I got distracted, because when you love somebody, you think about them. And associate pastor, came out of college, thought I was going to get a teaching job. I have a history degree, nothing came. Had the desire to get married, nothing in sight. Told that I'm the associate pastor of the church. Seldom got to preach. What is there left to do, Lord? Wait. Yet the heavy hand of the Lord was upon me. I waited there. I was there 7 years. It seemed like 70. Sat under the heavy hand of the Lord. A couple times I tried to give up. One particular occasion, I was sitting in a teaching session with my pastor, Brother Valori, and I had made up my mind that after this class was over, I was going to tell him I'm going back to West Virginia, went to college, and just see what happens down there. And if the ministry's there, fine. If it's not, it's not. And I opened up my Bible, and there was a track in it that I had picked up somewhere, and it was called Demas Has Forsaken Me. Lord, are you saying Bird is forsaking you? I said, I'm not even going to talk to my pastor about this one. I repent. I can't leave. Then there have been a number of times I'd be sitting there, very discouraged in the ministry, sitting on the platform. The last thing you want to look is discouraged, and you'd feel like giving up. And Brother Johnson was our leadoff hitter, and he would get up. Man, if you guys ever turn him loose, this church will never be the same. He stood up and he would say, don't give up. Keep going. He's bringing many sons to glory, and you'll be in that company. Just like that. I got a report one time that Brother Johnson went with two other pastors to New York City. They're ministering to a group there. And the report that I got was that the first pastor got up and reminded the people that they needed to listen to the two guests he brought. Brother Valori got up and gave a short teaching. And then they say Brother Johnson got up and gave a divine explosion. And I am glad that I have survived a few of those. Because I think his ministry and Sister Carolyn was part of the reason I think I was kept alive there. I got the vision of what the high calling, what God was doing, but I also needed to God to meet me where I was. And there was something about that ministry that I appreciate to Brother and Sister Johnson, that yes, this is where he wants to take you, but I'll meet you right where you're at. Isn't that how it started for us all? Amen. And I want to also give a testimony. I can't say enough about Clayton and Judy. They've been so much to us. They've been a faithful friend for a long time. And Clayton and Judy are your friends. You've got friends for life. They're great people. And Sister Debbie, who can't come here all the time because she has physical problems, we have a Zoom session every Tuesday night, and she makes most of those. And she's a teacher by trade, and she fills her notebook up. And you'll never guess. And she gives me a lot, and we close every session, and she gives me a long list of people that are in need of Durham Full Gospel that we need to pray for. She may not be here in body today, but she's here in spirit. Amen? And so, to me, that's real Christianity. Is she here? Where is she? See, I don't have my glasses. I can't see. Are you here, Debbie? God bless you, Debbie. Man, oh man. She's got more vision than most. She has more vision than she thinks she has. But she's a faithful sister. When I see her face on Tuesday night, we are so blessed by her. Amen. I'm not going to bore you about my mission trip to Africa. I could say this, thanks for the prayers, because we survived. Probably the roughest journey that I was ever on in my life. We were packed in this small car, 7-11 hour journeys here and there. And we were old when we got in the car, and we were older when we got out. We had a driver who was driving the car like J.U. And we went through an animal reserve, and he scared all the animals away. And they were all running for their lives. And in the four places we went, couldn't say enough about the Tanzanians. Humble people, beautiful people. And the pastors that we ministered to. One man, he was a bishop for 35 years, filled his notebook up every session, had a real hunger for God. But there was plenty of opposition and plenty of warfare along the way. We were very tired and worn out when we came back. And I can't say that I was at my best. I would say my wife was at her best. I did not feel at my best. There was warfare going on. It was just a situation that I didn't feel I could, because of the atmosphere, there was an environment in many different ways that we won't get into. That, as one preacher said, I'm afraid I laid an egg. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Jesus' word was sown. We sow the seed. And sometimes when we decrease, he's increasing. And we believe that the word came forth one way or the other. And we ministered to many young people. And wish we would have had more opportunity. But God definitely sowed seed. Amen. Praise the Lord. We want to teach today and share on our walk with God. As you can see, I can't walk too well. We went to a baseball game yesterday with my brother-in-law, and he helped me up and down the steps. And I was in Newfoundland, could hardly walk there because the terrain was terrible. Africa, thank God for some of the younger brethren that took mercy upon me. As much as I'm not able to walk in the natural, God is causing me to walk in the spirit. And that's more important, amen? And so we may at times feel like a Jacob, we've been made lame, but the greatest prophecy that I ever received was that God was going to make me an Israel. Amen. A prince with God. And the name Albert in the Anglo-Saxon means prince. And so even though I've gotten prophecies of going here and there and doing whatever things, I'm thanking God that he's changing us from glory to glory and from faith to faith. Amen. And so I'm going to talk about our walk with God. It's God's ultimate purpose, not just to give us great knowledge of doctrine. The worst thing you can get into with brethren is a sword fight about doctrine. God don't want us getting into those sword fights. And sometimes we need to see that maybe our slant is not wrong, but maybe we need something additional that we're not seeing, every one of us. We see that in the book of Peter. The writer says, let's add to what we have. Amen. God is not just a decreasing God. He's also a God that wants to give us increase. And the greatest increase he wants to give us is the knowledge of him. And so he doesn't want us just to be used in ministry. When you feel the most useless in ministry is possibly when something's happening. Amen. And sometimes we don't see any evidence of a huge amount of blessing. But, you know, just that we're alive and that we've died, that Jesus died for us and that we're still existing is his province upon our lives. Amen. He's carrying us when we cannot. And so he wants us to be able to walk with him not only in blessing but in a variety of circumstances. Amen. I was teaching Tuesday night on how Abraham walked with God. The walk and this working of walking with God is working in me today. We want to look at the garden today. God gave our first two parents the opportunity to walk in the cool of the day. I could spend an hour just on that, but I'm not going to. Let's turn on our Bibles to the beginning of the Bible, Genesis 3. And I'm very impressed by a God who walks with us. He walks with me and he talks with me. And he tells me that I'm his own. How many feel like you belong to God today? How many believe that God beat you to church today? He did. He's here. Now, here's why I appreciate the Old Testament. And I appreciated Serge of Valori because I never met anybody outside of maybe DeVern Fromke, who flowed with T. Austin Sparks, that could really teach the Old Testament. And I appreciated the ministry that I received. And a lot of people just, we got a movement right now that's dismissing the Old Testament. But see, the Old Testament has in it God's eternal purpose, and through covenant, God never moves from that purpose. That's what we see. Another thing that's important about the Old Testament is God's dealings with man. God's dealings with man are the same today. Now, why do I like the New Testament? The New Testament gives me a new approach that I can go through the blood of the Lamb. I can come to Jesus. How many know we can't even praise God in our own strength? We have to come directly to Him through the blood. I love the New Testament because it gives me that approach that I don't have to go through the law. But I don't want to just be able to be a person that says, amen, as the old cowboy would say, yippee-doo, that I stand in the grace of God and the finished work of Jesus. But God is something to complete. God is something that He wants to bring us further into. Amen? He wants your walk to develop. He doesn't want us to stand on the same premise. The doctrines, the revelations that we have today, God wants to expand it. He doesn't want us to stand on that. And I appreciate how the Lord came to our first parents. How many are glad for our God who came to Adam? Praise the Lord. And you know, He's not through with us yet. Let's look at Genesis 3, and we're going to look at verses 6 to 10. And this coming of the Lord is quite different than the other times He came to Adam. He's walking in the cool of the day. The Word of God says, and the voice walked. How many believe that we have a voice that's walking? And in the Old Testament and in the Old Covenant, the way the Lord related was by His voice. We see that on Sinai, the voice that shook the mountain. But I'm glad that in this hour, we saw this in the Gospels. How many are glad eventually the person showed up? Then we weren't left with a voice. Now we can see Him. Now we can get a vision of the person of Christ. We can handle Him, the truth of God. And we can begin to see the face of Jesus Christ. Something that Moses longed for, we can have now. Amen. And so in Genesis, the thing that astounds me about Genesis 3, 6 to 10, is that he not only walked with Adam, but He walked with Adam in a fallen state. It blows me away when I read this. And when woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired, to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her the husband with her, and did eat. So it seemed food was appealing to her. Maybe she was the first cook in history. But even a cook can mess up the recipe. And she began to eat the wrong thing. And how many know we become what we eat? And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And this is the man by his own righteousness trying to produce something that only God can produce. And we see in the Word, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord, and God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Now I want to mention to you that it's important to study the Old Testament, because the Lord doesn't just want us to stand in His grace. He wants us to come to an understanding of the ways of God, so that when we are going through a season, that we don't become so distraught that we quit. And the Old Testament teaches the dealings and the ways of God. He doesn't want us just to camp around truth, but He wants us to become the truth. He wants you to become the will of God.